Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
All right. I'm calm now. I've settled down a little bit.
Are you sure?
I don't know. It's what's going on in the news today has really got me kind of riled up. And yes, they got the tranquilizer darts aimed at me. Guys, I'm okay. Trust me on this one.
Go ahead and hit her with the tranquilizer.
Yeah. Don't encourage them. You know. They're already making faces at me. Anyways, welcome to the program. I'm Rob Sack.
It's 4 o'clock, and once again, time for, oh, well, anyway.
It's 4 o'clock. Do you know where your sanity is?
No.
Well, I know where ours is, and ours would also, I don't know if it would help or not, but if people give us a call right now at 646-721-9887, hopefully you'll have some sanity about you. 646-721-9887. Chat room is open right now at blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. You can join us there. If you're listening to us on the archives, again, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and or send us an email, talk@KRBNradio.com. And we've got a lot to talk about today, and including a few things that just happened in the news just recently, which is, I'm okay, guys. Gosh. I'm fine. Give me more coffee.
No, don't. Anyway, it's interesting because there's some interesting things happening in the news today and recently.
Yeah, some good stuff, some bad, depending on how you look at it. What we've promoted on the main topic of today's show was Eric Cantor, I believe a six-time incumbent, got beat out, actually got blindsided by a relatively unknown David Bratt, who's a university professor and definitely underfunded. But it kind of woke them up, saying that, you know, people are getting a little tired. And they're trying to send a message, and unfortunately, their message is kind of like, yeah, well, you know, the sheeple, they're easily, swayed.
Okay. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I mean, my God, you got to have the right message. I mean, you can have a what you think is the greatest message in the world and be talking about all the right things, and if it isn't what everybody else agrees with, yeah, it's tough luck.
Exactly. Also on the program today, we're going to talk a little bit about, and it's kind of a joke, the IRS says that it lost key learner emails, basically about Lonis G. Lerner through her investigation, and the IRS lost due to a hard drive crash. Yeah. Anybody who believes that?
Well, if they were just...
Apple II.
If they were just her emails and they were kept on her computer alone, then they could have lost them. But then what about the people she sent them to? Somebody's got to have kept them somewhere else. I mean, I understand, you know, you say, well, with the organization that big, they've got to have a big main computer. I don't know that I necessarily think that's true, because Lerner could have just done it off of her own computer, and it would be awfully coincidental that her hard drive would screw up just right now, but still, it's not impossible.
Well, I don't think anybody's buying it. And then, other than a few other little tidbits that we got going, the one that, I'm okay, guys, that the staff is trying to hold me back on. And Cliff, you want to go ahead and give a summary of that one?
No. Okay. I don't know what we're talking about.
the U.S. Marine that...
This is the guy, the kid that was... This guy was just driving along, right? And I don't know this area down there where he was driving or where his car was, down there near the border. And I guess you can go down there and take a wrong turn and end up across the border and in another country and not have an opportunity to turn around and come back home again right away. And he did that and accidentally ended up in another country. And it was tough luck. It was Mexico, and they picked him up.
Yeah.
And they put him in jail. Well, now, first place, it sounds like a little suspect that they put him in jail just for getting lost. The reason they did this, though, I mean, there is a logical reason for it. And I don't know that any of the stories that I've read so far have given me a logical reason as to why he had three rifles in his car with him, three guns. I don't know if they're all rifles or not.
Well, I'm going to interrupt you here for a second. Let's take a quick phone call here, area code 541. Joe Ray, is this you?
It is me.
Hi, Joe Ray Perkins, former at the moment, candidate for U.S. Senate. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Gosh, talking about the our military mask that's down there in Mexico, huh?
Absolutely. It's kind of got me a little riled up about the they're saying that because he's a former Marine and stuff. I'm just going, he's a U.S. citizen.
And he had nothing to do with former Marine or being a Marine or anything else when he crossed the border. He was just a citizen. The fact that he happens to have been a Marine is sort of incidental to this story. And I'm really upset that they... Go ahead.
I'm listening. Don't worry. I was supposed to see what you're saying.
Yeah, you must be in a bad cell area. But anyways, yeah, so far there's been, as Cliff was pointing out, there's like, 100,000? Cliff, what's the number again?
Oh, these are online signatures trying to get the White House to do something about this. See, okay, the idea is we've got the president who's doing all sorts of things and getting this other gentleman freed from
Bergdahl.
I don't know necessarily believe I agree with him stepping in with him either, but they've got 100,000 signatures to try to get him to make a response to this hard thing, and he's still just ignoring it. And the thing is, except now that he's in there, it was an accident. He crossed into the Mexican border accidentally, and he had three guns in his vehicle. That's okay, and that's all fine. And true, that's not good, but he says he was handcuffed, taken to prison, and his treatment was, well, he did try to escape. And when you try to escape, I suppose the prison, the jailers are going to be a little upset.
When did he try to escape? We're talking about which one, the guy in Afghanistan, Bergdahl, or are we talking about the gentleman in Mexico?
Tamborici in Mexico.
Did you catch his interview with Ben Sustrin a couple weeks ago?
I can't hear you. I can't hear what you're saying.
Okay, hold on. Let me drive this way. Did you hear his interview with Ben Sustrin a couple weeks ago on Fox?
No.
He gave the full account. I'm not quite sure how he got to call, but he gave a full account. Him and his friend had been in Mexico. They had parked in San Ysidro, California, which is the border town. They parked their cars, walked across the border into Tijuana, did their partying for the day, walked back. When he got into his car, he made a wrong turn, and there used to be a very large sign, but they're doing construction, and the sign is very small, and it's down the ground. It was dark. He couldn't see it. When he realized that he'd actually crossed back into Mexico, he told the crossing guard, I'm trying to get out of here. you know, I made a wrong turn, and they said, oh, just pull over here and we'll get you out. And then next thing you know, they're called the Federales. And he disclosed that he had his weapons. In Mexico, it's illegal to own a gun, or it's illegal to have possession of a gun in Mexico. And next thing we know, he gets arrested for doing that. And so he actually, while he was waiting and they had sent for quote-unquote help to so that he could get back legally across the, you know, the border, they allowed him to make a phone call, and he actually dialed 911, and the U.S. emergency operator answered the phone and said, you're in another country. We can't do anything to help. And then he gets, you know, subsequently gets arrested for entering the country with the gun, which is against Mexican law. So amazing, if we take a look at what happens here, if somebody comes to this country illegally, my gosh, we give them food stamps and a place to live and free medical care.
Right. Well, which goes along with a related article that actually got two articles. One of them is that bikers are en route to free the U.S. Marine who's in prison, and what they're going to do is go to the border and protest and demand that Obama do something. On the other side of the coin, and kind of a semi-unrelated story, is that the U.S. Pentagon is putting giving money to universities in order to track people's Facebook and social things in preparation for an uprising within the country itself.
Yeah, there's the... in the NSA, they're listening on this conversation right now. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, having been a candidate for the U.S. Senate. My phone is tracked, and I've already declared that I will be filing again in November to run again. So I know that my calls are tracked. I know that my internet is tracked because of some behavioral differences with my connection. So this kind of stuff doesn't surprise me. So what we need to do as citizens, well, first, we've got our U.S. citizen being held in a Mexican jail. There is a lady, an attorney general in Florida who has been in contact with Mexican authorities, and they are working on getting them out. And when this gentleman was on Glenda Van Susteren, he said that it looked like it was probably going to be 30 days and he would get to go to court. Of course, they're hopeful that they will let him out, you know, send him back across the border. And, of course, they'll keep his guns, which he said they can have the guns. He just wants to get home.
Right.
We just need to pray that he's being well taken care of. I had not heard anything about him trying to escape, so that's news. That's why I was asking, are we talking about Bo Bergdahl, who, you know, here our president illegally negotiates and releases five known terrorists for somebody who walked away from his post. Now, was he in his right mind or not? I don't know. I'm not inside of his head, and I think that now that he's safely back here in the country, and I disagree with exchanging five people, we could have sent our SEAL teams or special forces in to extricate him, but Obama didn't. He let his
This is the problem we're having with this particular story. We keep mixing up the stories. We keep swapping back and forth between the actual military story and then this guy who, now that they're talking about him, they're saying he's a Marine sergeant. We should ignore the fact that he's a Marine sergeant. He was arrested as a citizen, just as a citizen, after crossing the American and Mexican border.
And we're doing nothing for it. We're doing nothing for him other than waiting for the...
But why should we be doing anything? If we did something for him, he's just as a citizen. He's not supposed to, he shouldn't have any special treatment. I mean, he did something wrong, and I understand.
But did he do something wrong? That's the question, because the sign was moved, and I saw on the news where the sign was, and you couldn't, it was down on the ground, and you couldn't see it in the pitch in the dark because there was no lighting on it. He made a wrong turn and says, shoot, I need to turn back around and get back into the space. He goes over to his door and says, look, you know, I did not see that U-turn, and here I am in Mexico. I'm trying to go back over there. He had no intention of going back into Mexico. That was established immediately. Where's the American embassy? The American embassy, we have a U.S. embassy. Obama was just in Mexico. The American embassy should be there and should be working to for this man to be released. If Mexicans come into this country illegally, we don't arrest them. When do we arrest? We don't arrest them.
We're not Mexico
we
either.
Give them, huh?
Yeah, but we have relations with Mexico, though.
Yeah,
we,
but that's
yeah,
true.
Obviously,
not as good as we thought we were.
Right. I mean, they come into this country illegally.
It says here that, okay, he had three guns in his possession, but he was he said he was handcuffed, taken to prison, that his treatment was worsened even when he was in prison because he tried to escape. He said he suffers traumatic stress disorder because the guards hit him so many times in the face that he felt his jaw was going to fall out of place. He said that he was stripped naked and that he was chained to a bed with his feet in one at one end of the bed and his hands at the other. And, I mean,
wow.
This is not the kind of treatment you give to a friendly country and a person who just accidentally went into the country, across the border. I mean, something's going on here.
But we're talking, the Mexican government, the Mexican police, we already know that they're very corrupt. They have been corrupt for years. So it's not surprising that they would do that. That's the Mexican government. But where's the U.S. Embassy in all of this? The U.S. Embassy should have been there immediately working on behalf of this gentleman to get him released. And, yes, the fact that he is a former Marine is, I think, this is a man who was willing to put his life on the line for this, to maintain the freedom of our country, to me, is important. And he's willing to lay his life down for me so that I can continue to have my constitutional freedom. Then where is our U.S. Embassy to step in and say, hey, where's the president to pick up the phone to the president of Mexico when, our guy actually goes in there, just send him home. So all you got to do is
okay.
Put him back, take him back to the border and let him walk back across the border.
But
the point is that Obama doesn't do anything for this guy who innocently, he'd already been there all day. It had already been established. He had no reason to go back. His friend said he was indeed going home. He got in the wrong lane, tries to return, walks over, drives over, says, look, how do I get back out of here? I took the wrong turn. And I don't know if you've ever crossed the Mexican border from San Ysidro into Tijuana, it is huge. And it is very easy. I can see where the guy to get turned around, especially if you've been drinking. I don't know the guy's blood alcohol content, but for some of us, one drink would be more than enough to, help us get a little bit confused. But are that he immediately said, look, I missed the turn. I end up here. I'm trying to go north, not south into Mexico, and I just need to know the right road. And oh, by the way, yes, I do have guns on me, but I'm trying to go home. But our president does nothing to help this man at all, doesn't pick up the phone, or the embassy is not directed to go to work on behalf. We've got an attorney from Florida. I understand that she's an attorney general from Florida talking with an attorney general in Mexico. So that's the last I heard. That was 2 weeks ago.
Okay, according to this, a State Department official, Republican representative, I don't know which, Duncan Hunter, a Republican of California, he's been pushing for this guy's release. They are doing something. State Department said last week that they've raised concerns with the Mexican authorities about his treatment, which from the sounds of things, they should. They said they've been very engaged about his treatment and said they continue to press the case. This told Secretary of State John Kerry has been involved in this situation. The White House describes the online petition effort as a new way to partition the Obama administration to take action in a very range of very important issues. Well, I don't see as to how this should be all the way to President Obama. The State Department could get in there and work things out. But why did I assume that a reason it took them so long to do so was because he didn't call, he didn't ask, he didn't do anything about it.
He did. As soon as he realized that things weren't going right, when he was told that they were going to send an escort to take him back to the border, as soon as he got a bad feeling, he took his cell phone. They weren't happy, but he grabbed his cell phone and he called 911 immediately. And he said, "Look, this is my name. This is where I am. This is what happened." And the 911 operator said to him, "I'm sorry, sir. We cannot help you. You are now in a foreign country. We cannot give any help to you." So he was immediately, as soon as he realized, you know, when I say immediately, as soon as he realized that this is not Kansas anymore and I'm not going to get escorted back to the border like I was led to believe. And when we're talking a matter of maybe a quarter of a mile. We're not talking, I mean, I'm trying to remember. I think there's like 6 or 8 or 10 lanes now going from Tijuana back over the San Ysidro border, and I think it's San Ysidro is the town. And there's, you know, 5 or 6 or so lanes going into Mexico from California. It's quite congested. So, you know, we're not talking miles. We're talking maybe a quarter of a mile of space here, and they're supposed to escort him back and see that he safely returns back into the country, and instead they arrest him.
Well, and speaking of, by the petitions are up to 124,221, which on the White House website, they have to reach a goal of 100,000. And so the administration is supposed to reply to it, which most of the time they don't. So it's kind of interesting. And I think like you're saying that, and we just lost Jill, right? I hope she'll call back in, how they're handling it. I mean, Obama came out, you know, got involved in a local crime, saying like the Trayvon Martin thing. Well, you know, if I had a son, blah blah blah. Well, why isn't he getting involved in this, or why isn't it? Why
Obama is being very inconsistent. He doesn't know what he's doing. I keep saying that, and that's why we should get rid of him as quickly as possible, because he's not consistent on anything. He comes out and says one thing for one situation, something else for another situation, and leaves a third perhaps just alone to go handle himself. He isn't consistent about anything, and he won't even let his people be consistent. He has to have his hands on everything personally, and thus he screws everything up. And this man is more trouble than he's worth, and he's gonna get us in a war.
Yeah, and speaking of trouble, give us a call, 646-721-9887. Joe Wright is back with us.
Yes, I am. Did I press one?
No, I saw you come up on the board.
Oh, I was just looking in. So anyway, I think we need to get our citizen out of Mexico that is innocent. Not that, you know, his goal was not to be there. Obama needs to. Robin, you had mentioned to send me that message about, you know, now here Obama is out fundraising.
Right.
And Cliff, based on what you were just saying about messing everything up, maybe he should just do that.
Well, that may be a smart idea. Just put him out as a fundraiser for just everybody, because I don't want him back in any office I can think of. But put him out as a fundraiser for everyone else, and then find somebody who really knows what they're doing or even has a brain to run the rest of the country.
Absolutely. Let the military be the military.
Right. Well, I got a perfect job for him when he retires. He can go ahead and work on Saturday Night Live. But
I wouldn't want him there.
Well, Saturday Night Live kind of went downhill anyways. But the other thing that kind of goes along with that, too, is as far as protecting our citizens. Joey, I don't know if you heard about this recently, where four Russian jets came and tripped our defense system near Alaska, and two veered off, and the other two made it within 50 miles of the California coast the last couple of days. And these are bombers capable of delivering nuclear weapons. So it's, it kind of goes along with, you know, our fundraiser in chief is already proven that he is not, and we lost her again, that he is not, doesn't care about the U.S. citizen, and he's a joke around the world. You know, he's a paper, he's not even a paper tiger. He's just a joke.
Yeah, really. Paper tigers actually do something.
Right.
They mean something. And this we're just working with somebody who has no idea. And the thing that he can't be consistent. I mean, he can't make up his mind what he wants to do and what he wants to be. And so he's not consistent in anything he does. And it's really sad, because then people who decide they need to rely on him to do something for them or to do something for the country, he's not going to do the right thing, because he doesn't know what the right thing is. And he won't listen to his advisors, or he's obviously not listening to his advisors. I can't believe the entire Democratic Party is that stupid in giving him that kind of advice. So consequently, I believe that there are people who are advising him, but he's not listening to them. He just does his own thing, like it or not.
Right.
And it's rather sad.
Well, the worst part about all this, the way he has handled everything, this is according to the Washington Times, by the way, if people want to read the article. It says, four Russian strategic bombers triggered U.S. air defense systems while conducting quote-unquote practice runs near Alaska this week, with two of the Tu-95 Bear H aircraft coming within 50 miles of the California coast. So the last time we saw anything like similar to this was 2 years ago on 4th of July. Well, here's the thing, is that I do not feel confident. Like Hillary said in 2008, who's going to answer the phone at 2 o'clock? Well, Obama's already proven that it's not him. You know, if something actually happens, I don't feel confident that I don't feel safe with the people, the person in charge right now, and actually I'll include Congress in all this too. I don't feel safe that if something really happens, that we would respond accordingly.
Okay, putting Congress in picture with this whole thing is ridiculous, because you've got how many people of Congress? I mean, 500 and some odd, whatever. They can never make a decision. They can never come to a decisive decision or to do anything right. So you've got to find somebody to rely on. And the person that we rely on in this country to make snap decisions, and I'm going to say it that way, make snap decisions or to make a decision in a matter of minutes, is our president. And we can't do that with this man in there. And so we've got to change what's going on. I mean, we're finding out by leaps and bounds how inadequate he is, how inept he is, and we're not doing anything about it. Now, I've said before, well, okay, we've got a couple of years, we'll get him out of there, and then we'll do something better. I don't know if we'll do something better or not, but something different. But the thing is, he's getting us into all kinds of problems that could possibly lead to a war, and
that's what he wants.
That may be it. I'm not sure.
He said in 2008 that his goal is to fundamentally change America. Well, he's done it.
That'll do it. All right.
That would be the ultimate. I mean, we've already, one of the things that didn't. Go well with Eric Cantor is that he was flip-flopping on amnesty, and that's, you know, they're speculating that David Brat, that's one of the things that he was constant about, is being against amnesty. You know, we don't have control of who comes in our borders here, and, you know, who are here, where they are, what their backgrounds are. We're seeing diseases not to be offensive, but we're seeing diseases that are starting to reappear in our country that have been eradicated for a long time because we don't have control. And just besides that, it's a matter of security. You know, I mean, if somebody, like they're calling it refugees now, you know, we talked about this, I think it was last week, a week before, about children. 60,000 children came over the border last year. If a child can come without a parent over the border, what's to stop a militant or a group of militants to come over and do a real armed invasion?
Well, I think probably the adult militant or the, like you're talking about, would actually be paid more attention to them than we would the children.
Perhaps so. I mean, you know,
you can tell a child is a child.
Well, that's not my point. The point is that if a child can come across the border without any difficulty, you know, and especially 60,000 children, as they're claiming, just a couple.
Okay, I think you're missing the point. I don't think they're coming across without any difficulty, but they're not coming across without being noticed. They're not coming across without us knowing that they're doing it.
Right.
The people that are watching it, they're watching it. They know who's coming across the border. I mean, that's not just happening helter-skelter and willy-nilly. There's not that many people coming across can't do it without being seen. And so they've got to know how old they are. They've got to know they're a child and perhaps looking the other way when they find that out. But that doesn't mean they're going to look the other way when they see somebody, you know, that's 40 years old and has a huge rifle on their shoulder. And, you know, they're going to see that. And I don't think that we're going to let them come across quite as easily as the 12-year-old kid.
You would hope.
I would hope. I mean, as many people as we've got on the border down there, I mean, from what I understand, there's thousands of people down there, and they keep asking for more and putting more in, and we keep bringing people back from the military and sending them down there. Got to put them somewhere, and that's my opinion. That's my assessment of what's been happening anyway. It may not be right. I don't know.
What was that group that used to patrol the border? Was that like the Minutemen or something like that?
I don't know. I don't know that they had a name.
I think it was a Minutemen or something, but I don't know. It's just, you know, if we can't even secure our own border, how can we protect ourselves? And if somebody's really serious, because we have enemies out there, and we're showing weakness. We've gotten rid of a lot of the military, but you know we don't have a president that. Like right now he's out giving. Graduation speeches, and every time he gives these speeches, you know, he's talking about minimum wage or he's talking about his policy. He's still trying to sell Obamacare. You know, it's always about him. You know, and this guy is just like with the bird doll thing. You know, the White House kind of said, well, you know, we thought people would be all happy. You know, we got a U.S. citizen or military person out. But instead, you know, he bypassed the powers or the rules and released five Taliban leaders, you know. And
because he doesn't have any power. He doesn't have any – can't wield any authority. He has to give something away in order to even get a little bit. I mean, we're giving five for one. And these are five leaders that supposedly – could go out and do something in the world again, because they're going to be out there to make the decisions that they haven't been able to make. And of course, I don't know.
Well, it's not just five for one, but the question is, and I haven't really seen an answer to this much, is who is Bulldog or Birdog, whatever. Try to say that three times fast. You know, that makes him worth five Taliban leaders.
Well, he didn't. That's the point. He wasn't worth it. I mean, I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that because, you know, he is an American citizen and he deserves what recognition we can give him. And he was in the military and he's over serving. And thank you for serving. But the point is, you're right. to think he's worth five military leaders in return. You know, and I've heard so many stories about these people that are, that they released. I've heard that they were going to be released very soon anyway. But it's just ridiculous that we're even considering trading people for that. We should be a different way of doing this. But if we got the person back, it doesn't make any difference, I guess, how we got them. We got them, and we're not. I was going to say we're not out anything, but we are.
Well, the worst part about it was during the Carter years that we had all these hostages.
I don't know.
Yeah, where just about every other month there was a new hostage for this, that, and the other thing, and we, you know, hostages and beheadings and everything else. You know, people weren't safe over there because they knew that all they had to do was go grab an American citizen and they could demand whatever they wanted to demand. And we'd bend over backwards. Except, of course, I remember one time that they held a couple Americans and a Russian citizen, and Russia said, hey, you got 24 hours to release this or else. And when Russia speaks like that, people listen.
That's the thing. We don't have any authority anymore. We don't have any anything to work with. We're just absolutely sitting out there flailing in the wind. And that's not good. That's not the way this country is supposed to be. So we've got to do something about changing the direction that our country is going. And why are we listening? See, I don't understand how we can let one person be in charge of so much and why the rest of the people just follow willy-nilly. He doesn't have any logic behind what he does, and he, you know, he may be able to talk good, but that doesn't work when it comes to actually doing something for the country.
Well, especially when our leader is going that if Congress won't act, then I will. You know, it's like, or he also comes out and says that you know, the Constitution has gotten in his way. Well, that's what he's designed for, guys.
Yeah, really, and he's serious about all this sort of thing. That's the sad part of the whole thing. He does believe he knows better than all these other people, all the people that who sat down and worked that worked for weeks and weeks and weeks and maybe years to design our Constitution, to write our Constitution, to make it work, and to even run amendments, make amendments to it so that it works even better, and yet. It's no big thing because he knows better how to do it than anybody else.
Right. And it's too bad that a group of motorcyclists, bikers, are the ones that are actually standing up, and they may not have any power to do anything except get out there and support them. But it's interesting that, you know, a group of citizens are taking time out of their busy lives for an American citizen that was wrongly jailed. And our government is just, so far, all they're just saying is, well, we're just going to refer this to the State Department and blah, blah, blah.
Well, I don't know anything about this, the bikers that you're talking about. I didn't read the story, but what can you do as a citizen, just as a simple citizen, what can you do? I mean, you can nothing but write letters or send messages or whatever. I don't know what else you could do.
Well, really, that's all we can do, or go to the White House website and sign the petition, which it says was, you know, up to 124,000 at the moment.
But we've already got 100,000, over 100,000, and, you know, when's it going to do anything? I mean, does it do something instantly? Let's face it, this is a Saturday, and
right.
So it's not going to do anything. It's just going to stand there, and I'm sorry, it's tough life. This is something, this shouldn't be allowed to wait. You know, you should have somebody designated, and I don't believe we do. I would be glad to be wrong, but I don't believe we have anybody sitting there waiting for 116,000, waiting for the signatures to pass 100,000 and then do something about it. I think it's going to pass 100,000, and then he's going to think about doing it. Ah, well, I will, I suppose, when I get time.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not a when-I-get-time situation. That's just all there is to it. I mean, you know, we're supposedly friends with Mexico, but if what he says here about handcuffed and taken to prison and so on and all these terrible things that are, you know, hit so hard his jaw almost fell out of place, stripped naked and chained to bed, things like this, that's not the response of a friendly nation, in my opinion.
Well, and like they say, is that if we start treating Mexican citizens that cross the border over here the way that they treat foreigners that enter their country, I mean, we already had, is it still Fox that is still the president over there in Mexico?
I don't know.
Yeah, but anyways, the Mexican president, you know, has openly said that supported their citizens that have come over here and we should bend over backwards, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, we keep saying, well, you know, we aren't mean to them, but it is our country. You know, we're in your own country. You got your own problems. But I don't know.
I would certainly change my opinion of how I treat them from now on.
Yeah.
That's for sure. I mean, that's a, you know, the thing is, I don't believe, I can hope, I don't believe that this treatment that he's being given is sanctioned by the Mexican government.
Right.
This may be some jailers or some officers or in on the border or whatever that are doing this and doing it on their own. But any way you look at it, there's got to be something done.
Well, like what people are saying is just, Mr. President, just make a phone call. He always keeps saying he has a phone and a pen. All he has to do is just make a phone call and say, hey, Mr. Mexican President, could you look into this? Can you do something about this?
Okay, see, again, I'm going to have to be very disturbed because you can't just make the assumption that the president should be listening to this and paying attention to this and sort of get on the phone or immediately make a phone call. You don't make it to the president that way. You don't just get straight to, you know, go straight to the president because you've got 100,000 names on a petition. That is the way our country works. You know, we go through.
Normally, it wouldn't work that way. But I get back to some of the other issues that Obama stuck his nose into, like Trayvon Martin, and there's other examples where he's actually came out. You know, like that case, there's no way it should have made the White House level at all. Because that was a local crime scene. But this is like an international thing where one of our citizens is being held and mistreated in another country. You know, again, like Joe Ray said, what about the consulate, the Mexican consulate over there, American consulate? I mean, where's his representation?
You know, and it's just, interestingly enough, in all of the articles that I've read here so far, they talk about the State Department getting involved in this and everything else. They never talk about the consulate. They never talk about the local people in Mexico getting in touch involved in this. And I wonder why. I mean, something's wrong. Something's definitely wrong.
Exactly. I mean, again, when it comes down to the American citizens, and what's Obama doing? Like I say, he's out doing a fundraiser and talking about increasing the minimum wage again. Now, he's trying to sell his policies to the American people. And oversell Obamacare. He's still pushing that because there's a fight back on that. You know, argument, I don't understand why people are so against having health care. Get a clue, guy.
Well, I just, I have mixed feelings with this because these messages that are posted on this website that we're talking about, there are 82 messages or petitions that are posted on this thing, one of them at least of which has enough signatures to supposedly accomplish something. I don't know if this is the president that has said yes to this or not, or if this is just somebody's idea of what should happen if so many posts are made on this thing. I you know, the Secretary of State, John Kerry, is involved in it right now, and that's the way we should be going is to go by steps up there. The White House does know what's going on, but he's not going to take action. I don't think he's going to do anything about it just because of this online petition effort thing. That's not the way you get the attention and the such cooperation of the White House.
Right.
You need to go through people. I mean, but it's something that it's not happening. That's going to sound ridiculous, but it's not happening fast enough.
Well, this just out that newly released 911 recording of the former U.S. Marine sergeant to dispatcher in San Diego area could bolster the military man's account in that he accidentally crossed into Mexico with three registered firearms. Then it kind of goes into a little bit about his history. And
see, that's the other thing. If you're thinking their opinion, of, you know, the Mexican opinion of things, they don't know why he was there, and they don't know that he accidentally got there. But, on the, you know, again, this is a country that we supposedly have good relations with. I mean, if this is good relations, what are we going to do if we ever get to do have any thing to do with a country that we don't have good relations to?
Here's a transcript of what says. When he called the 911 operator, he says, "I'm at the border of Mexico right now. My problem is I crossed the border by accident and have three guns in my truck, and they're trying to possess. They're trying to take my guns from me." And the 911 operator says, "Unfortunately, you're on Mexican soil. There's nothing we can do. I apologize."
Well, that's the thing that needs to be changed right there. Right there is the thing that needs to be changed. He was not calling on a Mexican phone. He was not calling on a phone that went, you know, where did the phone hook up to? This was a cell phone. You know, where did it come out of? There's got to be some way that they can work this out, because for that official to say, "I can't do anything for you because you're calling from Mexico," I mean, he had no choice. And so that's something that's got to be done about, too. I mean, something has to be done about that. There has to be a way that you can work to get yourself in help. How can you get help if you can't call them on the phone, if they're going to tell you, you know, tough luck?
Exactly. And it also, the article also continues, and this is Fox News, by the way. It says, while on tour in Afghanistan, Talamasi, and I apologize if I'm pronouncing it wrong, suffered from a severe concussion when an improvised explosive device, IED, ended up in his combat vehicle. Now he suffers from what his mother, a nurse, calls directional dysfunctionality, frequently getting lost even in areas that he's driven in for years. The Marine was also diagnosed with PTSD on March 20th, with his mother saying he suffered from bouts of depression and hypervigilance, or a big long word, among with other symptoms.
Then he shouldn't be allowed out. He shouldn't be allowed in the position of driving a car. He shouldn't be allowed. That changes the whole thing. He should be in the hospital or kept in home or whatever. But he's not. That makes him unstable right from the beginning.
Yes.
That doesn't give the Mexican government the ability, the authorization to do what they're doing, assuming they're doing is right. But that would tell me that he shouldn't even been there in the first place.
Well, speaking of being there, Cliff, why don't you tell people how they can be here?
Oh, that's easy. 646-721-9887. That's great. No, anyway, the telephone number to call, you know, give us a call. I mean, you've got to have an opinion that's perhaps different than my opinion or your Robin's opinion. And call us and tell us. 646-721-9887. Or if you've got an idea of it, a way to perhaps explain it or understand it more than we're doing. I mean, we're not doing this very good, as I can see it right at the moment. But 646-721-9887. Give us a call and help us out one way or another, even if it's just to yell at us and tell us we're being stupid at how we're presenting this whole thing. 646-721-9887 is the telephone number.
Exactly. And how do you feel about, are we blowing this out of proportion? Do you feel that We should make a big deal about an American citizen being held in a Mexican jail, or do you think we should just go back and talk about the fact that the Twinkie had won away and is now back as a different style of Twinkie?
Oh, that's sad. That's so sad. To think that the Twinkie could have left us, it's sad.
I was impressed or depressed for minutes on that one.
Yeah, just minutes.
Yes. Question is, that's still on my mind, is that the Twinkie and the cockroach were both said to survive a nuclear attack. Will the new Twinkie hold up to the same standards?
Well, that's it. I haven't tasted a Twinkie since they've come up with the new ones, and I've got to do that now. Now that you mentioned it, because of course, how could I tell? I mean, if I didn't have an old one to taste and a new one to taste, I couldn't tell for sure. And so I don't know. That's an American standard. That's an American tradition. We can't lose the Twinkie.
No, it outnumbers apple pies.
Well, I don't know if it outnumbers apple pies, but whatever. Probably does because it's so small.
Exactly. And more readily available. 646-721-9887. So a lot going on, as we said, and we'll follow this case and see how it's going to go, what the White House is actually going to do. And I guess that the Marine's going to come up on trial here pretty soon in the Mexican trials, whoever that goes.
But is he really? Because, you know, are these people really part of the government that's doing this? I mean, I don't know. I'm a little worried as to whether, you know, he's even going to make it to the official trial or anything else.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But again, like I said on the onset of the program, the thing that really gets my gall is that, like even going back to Benghazi, is that, you know, Americans were under attack. And what did the president do? Well, that's still now that there's finally an investigation going on. But what did the president do at that time for those couple hours between the fact that he was notified that it was a terrorist attack? He went to bed, but he then got up and went for a fundraiser. This guy's spending more time on fundraising than he is running our country, which I don't know if it's a good thing.
This is the ineptness that we got in office. We've got to do something about removing this man from office, and it would be nice if we could do it even earlier, but we got to do something about limiting what he can do to our country as he stays in office, because he's still got full run. And like he says, he doesn't pay attention to the Constitution. It just gets in his way.
Right.
That's bad. Anyway.
And that's just like, and this is kind of unrelated. Oh, God, why can't anybody have a name that is just Smith? Ugadway, I'm probably mispronouncing it, U-R-U-G-U-A-Y. President says, U.S. must become a bilingual country. You know what? Worry about your own damn country. Let us do our thing.
Well, it would be very nice if we could become a bilingual country. But you can say that if you want to. You can promise that if you want to. It just ain't going to happen. It's going to take a long time, and it's going to happen one of these. Well, I don't know if it's going to happen or not. I don't think it really is, because what's happening is other countries are changing and taking English as their language rather than the other way around. But
well, we have several languages already. One is a language that you and I speak. The other one is a taxi.
That's true. The language that's a regional language.
See, but that's multi. I guess sometimes, you know, you need a translator to figure out what they're talking about.
Yeah. I was watching a movie last night and needed a translator to watch it.
Exactly. And, you know, unlike on TV, you know, when I talk to somebody that's got a New York accent, there's no subtitles that come up underneath them.
Actually, believe it or not, this, of course, I think I know why. I was going to say that this particular movie, they did have subtitles under it, but now that I think about it, it was because I had that turned on the VCR that I was watching it on. So.
There you go. That's probably what I'm missing out. Well, like I said, there's a lot going on, and it kind of, as one letter to the president comes out and says, is that people are getting fed up, and they're they're speaking out with what we can do peacefully, and I do encourage the word peaceful, you know, with their votes, with their letters, and whatever. And like what happened recently, like say with, I mean, we got off topic with Eric Cantor and stuff, because the Cantor campaign was thinking, well, you know, we're a shoe-in. You know, we've been doing this for six terms or whatever, and, you know, he had the money behind him, and there's a landslide against, you know, against
him. Sometimes people pay attention to what the other person is talking about, what the person says, and money doesn't always make the decision for you.
Exactly.
Thank God.
And people are getting tired of that. I mean, just even like in our local primary here, we had five candidates running on the Republican side, and Joe Ray Perkins, who was on the phone earlier today, was one of them. And because she did not have the cash flow as the two quote-unquote front runners, was never taken seriously. And we see this a lot where people with money are able to buy the ads and whatever, and people listen to the polls. And that's the other thing that you got to stop doing is listening to the polls. You know, do your research, as we keep saying. Do your research. Pay attention to the news. And
well, I hate to be a little bit have a different opinion because, you know, if Joe Ray had actually come up with a thought, something that was of importance and something that meant something to people, she could have gotten the vote even then, because it's not money that does it. It's the ideas and it's the thoughts and it's how you go about it. Now, money can help along with everything else, but if you have the right idea, if you say the right things, you can say them and people will catch on and other people will see to it that you get the money. I mean, you know, something was not there to allow her to raise the money that she wanted to raise. For some reason or other, she wasn't doing something right and consequently didn't make it, because she was way down as far as money is concerned. And if you say the right things and get the right opinions across and stir the right idea and perhaps piss a bunch of people off, I don't care, but the idea is get them to donate to your campaign and get you in there.
Now, speaking of pissing people off, we have a governor that figured out, usually our governorship in Oregon is limited to two terms. Well, the loophole in that is that he was a two-term governor and then took some time off. I can't remember if it was just one governorship or not, and then was able to run again and got elected again. Now he's running for a fourth term. And although I just made a speech about polls, the polls are saying that we need something new. And I think that's what we're seeing across the board here, especially on the Republican side, is that and I'm going to, like I've said before in the last election, on the Republican side, it was a joke. People are so desperate for anybody that had some sort of sense that they were even – and I was even thinking of this. Was even thinking about Donald Trump as the nominee for president. You know, that's how desperate people were, and Trump played everybody for a fool.
I'm confused. You were talking about Oregon, and then you went to Donald Trump, which is not Oregon.
Well, no. What I'm saying is that on the Republican side, you know, because our current governor is Republican, and he's running for a fourth term. And people are saying, no, we're tired of the same old, we want somebody new. And then I went ahead and brought up the 2012 presidential campaign, where we had a weak side showing on the Republican side, that we were so desperate for anybody that, you know, we probably literally would have rode in Donald Duck if we thought that he had a chance.
Well, as far as the Oregon election is concerned right now, and the idea of this governor wanting the fourth term, obviously he's saying the right things and hitting the right buttons and got the right idea, because people are voting for him. And that's what I'm saying. That's what happens if you know how to do it and if you know what to talk about, and you can get the people. Now, the point is he following through with what he's saying? Is he doing what he says he's going to do? And that's whether or not that determines whether or not he's going to get the fourth term,
yeah.
I think, because I don't know that I believe he's doing what he has promised he's going to do. Has he promised to do anything?
I don't know.
I haven't seen him doing any much promising at all. He's just kind of saying the right things and again. I don't know. I haven't looked to see his what I want to call it, his trail of what he's done and what he's been and where he's what he's the proposals that he's made. I haven't watched his career at all.
Well, all I know is that I'd like to think that people are starting to express their opinion through the ballot box, but then again, on the last showing in the Oregon primary, It was very predictable. I mean, of who is going to get in, and because I don't know. Of course, Oregon has been disappointing anyways in the last couple of elections, but the I don't know, because like I said, it's money or just name recognition, or people just don't care.
Well, again, I think it does has a lot to do with who we've got to vote for. Who we've got that's making the noise, and the man that's making the noise in this particular case is saying the right thing because he's getting the right opinion, right amount of people to vote for him, and now whether you know he is universally acceptable, I don't know, but he's enough acceptable that he's getting the vote. I don't know what he's been talking about or how much he's been saying to anybody or anything else, but it's interesting.
Yeah. 646-721-9887, 30 minutes remaining in the broadcast. If you'd like to chime in on this or anything else that's on your mind, give us a call, 646-721-9887. Or I could do just like those ads and repeat that number three times.
646-721-9887.
There you go. That's the third
time. That's the third time. I've got a separate little story here. This is something different. The organizers of the Eugene celebration decided this year to cancel that celebration, which is, I don't know how many years it's been going on, but it's been going on for quite a while. And that's kind of bad to say we're not going to have it this year. So the community members of Eugene are kind of stepping up to give Eugene a chance to still have some sort of an celebration. So they've come up with a thing called, or I guess they're going to call it, it isn't called anything yet because they haven't made a final decision, but the new proposal is being called the Festival of Eugene. And they're going to say that it span about four city blocks from Pearl Street to Fifth Avenue, stretching over Willamette Street. It would feature live music, performances, and vendors, and all that sort of thing, and have a great fun. The festival will be a diverse mix of entertainment. Anyway, you could have all kinds of fun, and they're trying to get possibility of we hello, I can't talk.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're trying to get the green light from the city to do this year.
On a kind of for people who don't know what the Eugene celebration is, kind of explain that a little bit.
Well, I don't know exactly what the Eugene celebration is. It's kind of a carnival. Kind of a celebration is all it is. But this one is going to be basically the same thing, and they're working to get the city to accept it. They plan to meet with Eugene Police Monday, tomorrow, or not tomorrow, the next day after that, to work out the logistics for where to put it and when to put it and all that sort of thing. So basically I'm just bringing this up because if you have an opinion and would like to help support it, or whether you'd be supporting it with just a phone call to the right people and letting them know, that being the city of Eugene, and to find out if you could help out in some way, because I'm sure that it's going to cost some money because they're not going to be charging a fee for this. I mean, it's something to be free to get in and to do things with, and so it's going to need some money and some help with the whole thing.
Well, each celebration, by the way, was created in 1983 as a way to bring members of the Eugene community together for a three-day event. weekend of music and festivities to celebrate the opening, originally to celebrate the opening of the $22.5 million Holt Center of the Performing Arts, and attracted as many as 57,000 attendees in 2011. It was originally sponsored by the City of Eugene and for years had corporate sponsorship of Centennial Bank, and that changed hands. But this year, they decided that the Eugene celebration wasn't going to be held. The cancellation of the necessary steps, and I'm kind of scanning here, but they were saying mainly because of the lack of room, because of the growing momentum in Eugene's downtown revitalization. KC Enterprises was the one that announced the Eugene cancellation. And like Cliff is talking about, that there is some private groups that are trying to put together at least, what was it, four-block area?
Well, they're saying that, I don't know about the area. I'm not familiar. See, I don't know enough about Eugene to know where. Yeah, four city blocks. It spanned four city blocks from Pearl Street to Fifth Avenue and stretching across Willamette Street. I don't know much about. They're saying the 23rd and the 24th, or say 22nd and the 23rd is the when they're going to, and that if it really gets going and they're really having fun and everybody would like to continue it on, there's a possibility of extending it to the 24th. So it could be a three-day celebration again if they want to. It depends on what people want to do with it. So it doesn't give any place to call or anybody to call to tell about it. So it's basically, I'm trying to see if there's, like you say, read it and see if there's any way to get a hold of people. But basically, I suggest that you call the city and find out who's organizing it and give them a call and tell them what you think. I mean, if you'd like to continue this thing and make it work and make it fun, then you can just call the city and they'll let you know. I mean, either they'll let you know or they'll get mad.
Exactly.
And me.
646-721-9887. If you'd like to give us a call, we have 22 minutes remaining in the program. One thing I wanted to kind of touch on is that there's been a lot of issues going on with Common Core, which is kind of a ridiculous type of math situation. In fact, college students are finding out that, I read an article recently where one couldn't get his, he had a couple classes left to go for graduation for his bachelor's, and he had to go back and take a couple Common Core tests, which was not part of the syllabus when he first started, but they made it the requirement. And what's interesting about this is, and this is in the this is from the Business Insider, sixth graders found a clever way to protest the Common Core test. And I thought it was kind of interesting. So the group of Massachusetts sixth graders forced to do a trial run of a new Common Core test has sent a letter to the national and state education officials requesting payment for their work. The Common Core State Standards of the CCSS enacted in 2009 set math and language standards for K through 12 in most U.S. states. The recently controversial Massachusetts, controversy in Massachusetts over the standards began after the state randomly selected 37 students in two sixth grade math classes at Icebridge, I-P-S-W-I-C-H. Again, nobody can just go with simple names. To take the trial test aligned with a Common Core test. And the students said that they lost a week of instruction time, 5.5 hours split into four testing periods to take a field test. And so their teacher, after making a joke that the class should get paid, a student named Brad, Bellew, pardon if I mispronounce, calculated how much they would have earned at minimum wage, as well as how many textbook pencils, papers, and calculators that money could buy. So in a letter requesting that him and his fellow students receive compensation for their work, after he obtained 50 signatures from peers, his teachers, the assistant principal, and the principal, they sent the letter out to U.S. Education Secretary Arne Duncan, Massachusetts Secretary of Education Matthew Malone, and Partnership for Assessment of Reading for College and Careers, who responded in, "This isn't worth even acknowledging."
Okay.
So I think it's kind of interesting that, you know, this is one of those things that's being forced down people's people.
Well, you see, I don't know what you said about that, but because that was just a lot of information. But the Common Core, is the way I see it, is a common way of testing the students to know what they've learned. And if we don't have a standard way of testing two students to find out how much they've learned, how do we know?
Well, that's not what Common Core is.
What is it?
Common Core is a math test, or a way of conducting math. Like, instead of going, 150 plus 160 equals such, and by, putting the two together and adding each column, they make you kind of a round way and do a rough estimate of doing it.
I'll see. That should be against the law.
Yeah, and it's a totally roundabout way to try and to figure out simple problems, but it's one of their great ideas on how to do things. So
that's another one of the great ideas that should go like the way of all other great ideas. That's stupid to try to come up with different ways to fool people. That's just all they're trying to do, is come up with different ways that the adults, the parents, can't understand what they're doing and they can't help the kids. I mean, that's the way I look at it. All this crap about coming up with different ways of getting the answers, there is one way of getting the answers. When you add things, you add them. And you don't go around all kinds of different ways of doing it, because all that does is confuse everyone. And we don't need to have everyone in the world confused right now. We need to be a little more stable, a little more stability in the life of everyone. And so to do that is just, in my, it's criminal.
Well, I'll give you an example. Normally, here's two figures, according to the example I have, which is add 354 plus 291. Okay, I would do it by putting those two numbers over each other and 4 plus 1 is 5, and then go 5 plus 9, is 14, carry the 1, and 3 plus 2 plus the 1 carried, and it will give me the answer. No, that's wrong. They said that the way that you do it is that you take the 354 and you drop that down to 300. Then you take the 291, you drop that down, and you make it 200. Then you add those two together, which makes it 500. So the estimated sum is 500, and the answer is 645 is reasonable.
but math is not reasonable. Math is an absolute. And that's as far as I'm concerned, that is criminal.
Yeah.
In order to do that and make kids learn that sort of thing, that is criminal. We should be doing something. We should be making big noises for our education system and changing all this. This is something our education system that keeps trying to do. It keeps trying to play around with how things are supposed to be done and changing it. And that it's not the way it's supposed to be. I mean, math is math. And to change it to you're saying that the answer to that question, if it's close, is fine. That's not true. Math is not a close thing. It doesn't work close. You've got to be right with math. There's a lot of things you can be close, but math isn't one of them.
Right. Well, that's just the thing. That's why there's a lot of backlash against Common Core and being forced to learn something that is just ridiculous about that. Because, again, if you break that number down I just gave you and it says the answer is 645 is reasonable, okay, fine. So you took the two big, large numbers, the 354 and the 291, and you broke it down to 300 plus 200 is 500. Okay, what about the 54 and the 91? You still have to add those two together to get 645.
And besides, it's not reasonable.
Right.
It's absolute. I mean, it's ridiculous to begin with. There are different ways of learning how to do it, and that's being a way to learn how to do it, but just how did they come up with 654 or whatever it was? What they added up didn't come up to that.
No.
And yet they came up with it somehow or another, just out of this clear blue sky. You can't just change things like that. You got to have a reason to do it. And the idea of playing around with it like this is, we're destroying our kids' logic. This is not what school is for. School is to teach you how to do something that is a tried and true thing. I mean, what are they accomplishing by this?
Well, and you try to get back to the examples, you know, by using how many apples, you know, 2 apples plus 5 apples, you know, equals 7 apples. Well, how do you do that with Common Core, pardon the pun?
Well, you can't. I mean, 2 apples plus 5 apples is 7 apples. And if you're working with apples, that's fine. But how do you get 6.5 apples or 7.75 apples? That's not going to happen. You've got to do this, you know. To my opinion, it is absolutely criminal that we're doing this sort of thing. And we're really screwing up our kids and putting them in a position where they make it impossible for them to learn. Mm-hmm. I mean, what they've learned is not what happens. You know, you sit here and you learn this, and then you go out to the real world, and you say, oh, wow, it doesn't work that way. Now what do I do?
Now, a lot of things that happen in school does not match real world. And even in college, a lot of things that happens doesn't happen in real world. But
well,
speaking of real world, we have 13 minutes remaining in the program, 646-721-9887, if you'd like to join in on this topic or anything else that you'd like to talk about. Give us a call. We have time, and or join us in the chat room if you'd like as well.
Well, the thing is, we've got to live in the real world, like it or not. And if we aren't teaching our kids how to do to live in the real world, or how to live in the real world, or what to do to even get along in the real world, then we aren't doing them any service at all. And we need to change our, you know, we're letting I don't want to say. Well, I'm going to say it, and I'll apologize.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're letting the teachers tell us how to run the school, and that's not the way to do it. How to run the school is a pretty simple thing. How to run the school is not changing things as you go along. Math is math, and the teachers can't make it anything different. You make it different and make it more difficult to get along with, and then the poor kid that gets out there and tries to use that in the real world and tries to make it adapt to the real world, then is very frustrated, and that's part of what's going on with our society today. We've got, you know, how many people have we got that are taking guns to school and shooting people? I don't know that has anything to do with this, but I think it has something to do with it. Kids are confused, and they don't know what's going on, and that could have something to do with the way they're reacting to things. And so we should be doing things different so they don't have to react that way, so they know how to react and how to do things. I mean, I keep wanting to say, you know, in the good old days, people didn't go out and shoot each other, but actually they did. So what can I say?
Not as much. 646-721-9887, we're talking about the kids wanting to be paid for taking Common Core tests. The main topic today is the Eric Cantor losing to David Brett, and the U.S. Marine Sergeant Andrew Tart, I can't say it now, Tanamasi, suffering from PTSD in Mexican prison right now. By the way, the count has just increased on signatures on the White House petition to 124,225.
What's happening? I mean, we've said, okay, over 100,000, and the president will step in and do something. Is he?
It doesn't say that he'll step in and do something. It just says that when the goal of 100,000 is reached, that the White House will comment on this as part of the White House petition called We the People, which you can go to petitions.whitehouse.gov and search for, I'm going to spell his name, Tahmoorissi. And if you want to sign the petition, you can sign in and do that there. Or other petitions too, but the background on that is that the former Marine accidentally drove across the border, got arrested, and has been held for over 24 days in the Mexican prison. And he tried to call for help, and that's kind of where it stands at the moment. And people are not happy about the lack of the White House response about what's going on with that.
Well, there's a whole lot more than the White House that has to respond to that, because there's a lot of things that have to be changed. Our 911 system has to be changed. We've got to, and I think we do do quite a bit of training to our 911 operators, but there needs to be a little different response to time there. I mean, to have someone call 911 and just be told there's nothing I can do for you.
And hang up.
That's not the answer. That's just absolutely not the answer.
Well, I agree with you. In fact, I'm jumping in here for a second because on that same point, you know, looking at the transcripts, it's just say, well, nothing I can do for you and hang up. How about giving the number to the American consulate or suggesting calling this or routing it to somebody that can kind
of... Well, that's the thing. Route it. Let's face it. This man is not in a position that he has all the time in the world. So consequently, there's no reason that that operator can't go ahead and maybe she can't do anything for him, but she has the ability to find someone who can.
Right.
And,
that's
and consequently, she should be doing that. And I understand that makes it very hard and might make the 911 calls a lot longer and a lot more involved, but that's what it's supposed to be for. The 911 is supposed to be to help us, and let's make it work so it does help us. I mean, just to hang up and say, tough luck.
Yeah.
Just not the way to do it.
I mean, usually when 911 answers the phone, they go, 911, what's your emergency? Oh, I'm being held in a foreign country against my will. I mean, that might, qualify.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Myself. I just really would. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense that the 911 operator would just go away. I think, personally, and I have to sit back and look at it and say, well, if I don't know what their training is, and but whatever it is, it needs to be changed so that it does perhaps deal with this situation. This is not something that's going to happen all the time. This is not something that's happened very much at all. But the people who are 911 operators down on the border and living down in that area that are on that part of the country, they, of course, again. See, I don't even know how 911 works. I don't know if it goes to a specific area or if it, you know, you call 911, and with our phone system the way it is now, you could be getting Philadelphia. You don't know.
Yeah, well, I think it kind of goes by area, but...
Well, you don't know, though.
Yeah.
It could do anything. And consequently, it needs to either be done differently, or at least everybody, then, if that's the case, needs to know the answer and how to work it. So everybody is familiar with what to do, and everybody knows that if you dial 911, you do whatever you can to help that person. I always thought that was the case.
Well, that's kind of the whole point of it. You know, they're supposed to, say route the emergency or do something. You know, but just say, well, you know, sorry for your luck. Good luck to you. Click.
See, I only had one instance of where I dialed 911 for any particular thing. And interestingly enough, I got my own local police department when I dialed 911. It just went right straight to them. And I explained to them the situation. I was very surprised because he says, oh, I'll be there in a minute. I mean, and he was there in just a matter of a couple minutes because I went right straight to my own police department. I thought I would be going at least to Eugene or Springfield or Portland or someplace to be routed to whatever. But it went right straight to my own local area, and it was taken care of immediately. I mean, so I have not. It should be that's the way it should be answered. Period. That's the way it should be controlled. Is it should be taken care of immediately. But you see now with cell phones, and he dialed it from a cell phone.
Right.
You can't be sure that it's going to go right to your own phone area.
Well, supposedly the cell phones. The system knows where you're at, but and so the 911 does kind of route. But in this case, being that he was in Mexico, or right on the border of Mexico, so why it routed it to?
See, that's the thing. The cell phone system has cell towers in Mexico. I mean, it's has the same cell towers here and there, and so you don't know what cell tower he came from. And so, consequently, you don't know, with cell phones, you don't know for sure where you are, I don't think.
Well, I mean, I won't get into how technology works, but chances are that, they kind of knew roughly, but trying to see where it says what operator picked it up here. I'm scanning my multiple screens here, trying to find it again. But it is kind of interesting. Is it going to be interesting how this plays out? It'd be interesting if... if what the White House is going to say about this, if the State Department is going to release any type of a an announcement other than they're just looking into it. And, of course, then again, you know, one could be said, now I'm going to be accused of being racist if he is black.
Is he?
No.
Hmm. See, the thing is, I think the 911 system needs to be remodeled. I think that's the thing that needs to be done is we need to consider national, I'll call them rules, national ways to handle a call so that everybody, in, no matter where it comes from or to, a 911 is an emergency and it should be dealt with as such. And we should be working no matter where you call to or from, and no matter who picks up the call, it should be dealt with the same way so that you have some sort of assurance. I mean, that's the whole idea of a 911. That is an emergency call. And
real quick here. Again, this is from theblaze.com. White House breaks its silence on jailed Marine in Mexico. And the White House spokesman says that I don't have a lot of information to provide you in terms of the current efforts underway. So are they looking into that? They just can't say. Is there more that we're not being told? Who knows? They just keep saying that we'll refer you to the State Department.
And why is it taking so long?
Well, good questions. But since he's, the Marine's going on 2 months of being in prison and the way he's being mistreated. But I guess now that...
Yeah, I would like to forget about the fact that he's a Marine.
Well,
this was not a possibility of being a Marine. This was a citizen that did this.
Right. But the... But the whole point is that he's being mistreated, although they do say he's now in a separate cell, in one of the more recent ones. But even still, it's...
Well, it doesn't make any difference if he is. What happened to him? That was not acceptable.
Right.
I mean, this is supposedly a friendly country.
Right. At least one that we have quote-unquote, favorable relationships with.
Well, I thought we did. I mean, obviously not. I mean, would we, you know, that's where the president could come in and do something about it. But in this particular case, this is a local thing, and it should be handled locally. And he is not a Marine. He is just a citizen. Now, the fact that he was a Marine at one time, that's fine. And I'm happy to say I'm glad he did so. But this is not a Marine thing. That's why the president is not involved in it. But local people should be involved in it, should be doing something about it. And they shouldn't be just letting him lay there in jail and, or wherever he is. And the atrocities that have been, that I've heard that have been done to him are just ridiculous and not acceptable, not with a friendly country.
Exactly. Well, we'll see what happens and that and what's going on with the Republican Party and everything else. A lot going on. Keep touching the news, and we'll be back again next Saturday, 4 p.m. Pacific time. Thanks, everybody, for checking in. We'll see you.
Okay.
Be sure to check us out on the Internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.